Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Jeff Hardcastle, the Nevada state demographer with the outlook for the next 20 years, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Howard Rosenberg and Don Tatro. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Jeff Hardcastle. He is the Nevada state demographer. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Ray.
Good to see you.
In your latest survey that you put out, this covers, what, the next 30 years?
Next 20.
Next 20.
Right.
What was the biggest thing you found that was different between, say, 2007 and what you're looking toward the future?
Well, really, the comparison I was making, too, is more to the 2014 projections. If you go back, though, part of it was I did look back at 2007. I did look back at the housing bubble as part of the larger document that's on the website. And we actually, if you look at the economic model I use, we probably had 57,000 more construction jobs at the peak than we probably was warranted by other economic activity in the state at that time. And that spilled over into the housing bubble. And as we've lost jobs and that industry's unwound since, looking backwards. But as you look forward, we're looking at a population increase of about 425,000. The last three projections have been bouncing around that range, with a little bit of shift from north and south. In 2014, more of that growth was going to be up north with the initial presentation by Tesla, with governor's office and how the construction jobs are going to play out in that. And since then, with this most recent round of projections, that's been shifted downwards a bit from that previous projection, more like about 84,000 for Washoe County.
Okay, and why is that?
Partly it's because there have been a couple of things. Is the actual history, economic history, has been where we're underperforming with that 2014 projection compared to what we were projecting at that time, given the information in hand. We were looking at for much more of a more rapid ramp up with Tesla, both in their own internal hiring, but also in their construction employment levels. Those levels were initially thought to be, we were treating as an annual number of 25,000. It's more like around 250 to about 400 a month, on an annual basis out there, a trick at this point. So that's quite a big difference there. And of course, that spending trickles over. Also in Washoe County, what you've seen is an uptick in employment, primarily in the transportation warehousing facilities. Up in the Northwest, you're seeing those facilities go into play. But you've also seen underperforming in some of the other sectors around that because of the that overly optimistic scenario with the initial ramp-up with Tesla.
And Panasonic has not made up the difference there?
No. I mean, we're talking about their combined jobs at this point. Right now, we're looking, I believe, it's about 162 to 450 jobs out there on site that are actually operating. And that's behind at this time from where they were initially looking at for at this point in the
Do you believe they'll catch up?
They are anticipated to reach their contracted level of employment of 6,500 by 2024, which is what I at least put in my model at this point. So we're still stretching that out over that time frame. So we're still allowing for that growth. And that will actually, if that employment level goes forward, you'll see Nevada being in a better position with manufacturing. because of that. And even in the near term, what you're seeing is a bit more of a spinoff with the indirect jobs. Even with Tesla not fully wrapping up, there are other manufacturers that are slowly locating here through other efforts. So some of that is playing up with some of that multiplier effect. It's not as substantial as we were anticipating because of the huge impact of Tesla, but there is still some impact there.
Jeff, when you're talking about population growth in Nevada, are you talking mostly about growth in the metropolitan areas of Reno and Las Vegas? I was wondering, what's the projections for Carson City and rural Nevada in the next decade?
For the balance of the Northwest, we're looking at about 26,000. That's Carson City, Lyon County, Story, and Douglas County. That's depending, again, on the spillover effect with the ramping up of Tesla, and also is dependent on housing construction both within Story County and in the surrounding region. So we do still see growth in the Northwest because, you know, there's a large commuting shed between the Northwest counties here. If you look at the transportation flows, with the mining counties, especially along the I-80 corridor and into White Pine County, we're looking at those being relatively flat. There may be, with some of the downshift that's been happening with mining employment, some loss in the near term, but bottoming out and a little bit of return. So it's a fairly flat scenario out there, almost negligible. For the balance of the state, though, we're looking at potentially loss in population about 2,700 over the next 20 years. You know, we do these projections annually to pick up new information and new trends and changes in the data sets as well.
Also, it seems like according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, in an interview you did with that major news outlet, the majority of Nevada's population could be minorities by 2022 or 2023. Do I have that correct?
If I remember correctly, that's probably the case. But again, a lot of Nevada's Hispanic population, which makes up a good chunk of that, but we also see an increase in the Asian population in Nevada, and still a large African American segment in the metropolitan areas. But you know, a good chunk of that Hispanic population are folks that are now being born here. You know, prior even into the 1990s, with the increase in the gaming sector and the to some extent the construction trades, you were seeing an influx of Hispanic migrants. But then a lot of those people now have had children, or those people are in turn, further generating families and children being born here. So the biggest segment of our Hispanic population is slowly shifting towards being people born in the state of Nevada and trying to make their home here.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jeff Hardcastle when we come back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jeff Hardcastle. He's the Nevada State Demographer. I'm here along with Ray Hager. One of the things, and you just brought this up in the last segment, that people don't realize is the Asian population of Las Vegas is about a sixth of the community, correct?
I believe so.
I mean, that's a huge number. And you're seeing the Lucky Dragon Casino opening this week for a soft opening. And even though they're getting direct flights from China starting this week, that's not the reason that they're opening as a Chinese property, essentially. They're opening it because of the vast Asian population in Las Vegas and also along the entire West Coast.
Well, and that's been something that's been growing over time. And you know, with at one point, like with Washington State, you have a large population of Asians there, partly because of the shift out of Hong Kong with people moving into the Seattle area from Hong Kong, you know, at one point. So, you know, migration is a continuing shifting story and can shift some of these internal markets. But it's also, I believe, also part of the goal of that property is to cross trade, you know, and draw people both from America to China and vice versa, too. So there's some tourist flows that will go back and forth, I think, is part of the hope with that project.
It also seems that over the next year or so, the gaming industry is ramping up both in Southern Nevada and Northern Nevada. The Genting project is expected to start moving full bore. And then you have the secondary James Packer project that's just along the strip from them. Up in Northern Nevada, you've got Station Casinos making a larger push into Northern Nevada. You've also got the Grand Sierra Resort has invested well over $100 million in their property. New ownership for the Sparks Nugget. It seems to me like it may not be gaming-centric so much as entertainment-based, but that industry is continuing to grow despite the fact that a lot of people in elected office think it's going backwards.
Well, if you look at the gaming abstract, you know, over time back from the 1990s, they did look at how to shift each center to make it each profitable. And, you know, it's now where I believe food and beverage entertainment are actually, in terms of constant dollars, actually has increased as a per capita source of revenue coming in.
Yeah, they're at close to 70% of all the revenues are non-gaming now in Southern Nevada, where it's about 40% in Northern Nevada.
And the other thing is, I mean, the whole hotel gaming sector is still a very large segment of the entire workforce at this point. And you know, even if as we look at the future, it's very important to understand that that's 300,000 plus jobs, roughly. And you know, any attempts at unwinding that or how that could unwind has very serious implications both for our state economy, but also for the livelihoods of those people in the homes they've made.
As our population, our young population, continues to grow and be educated by the Nevada school system, what kind of jobs will be available for the upcoming workforce? And what about job prospects for those who don't have either a high school diploma or a college degree?
I don't have a lot of information on that, Ray, to be honest at this point. The Department of Employment Training and Rehabilitation, along with the Governor's Office on Economic Development, is looking at workforce development and matching people up with jobs. If you look at more larger demographic kinds of trends and of characteristics of the population, what's been happening is a lot of the younger population, the 20 to 25-year age cohort, you know, even as has been tending to relocate into large metropolitan areas if they have an education because of the factors like diversity, cultural values, cultural amenities, in job opportunities. That's why areas like D.C., California, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Phoenix, those areas are all continuing to attract those folks, whereas places like Nevada, where up until about this past year, our housing cost was a little bit less and job opportunities for people without a college education or other certification, they could get employment. They were relocating here and moving to places like Nevada, Washoe and Clark.
When you look at the taxing situation in California and all the regulations, are you continuing to anticipate more and more companies moving to Nevada? Jeff's like, I'm not sure about that one, Sam.
You know, that's not necessarily an area under my purview to fully address the tax situation. But I think if you look at I think as we mentioned before, a couple years back when I was on your show, there are a number of factors that companies look for where they're relocating or where they're locating and expanding. And one is, you know, the market. The other is their labor force. The other is transportation accessibility, capital acquisition, physical space to expand in. And those are segments that some of those can actually be helped by public investment. And that public investment comes through tax revenues, and having a tax system that can further your educational system and build up your labor force. I mean, there's trade-offs in this, but I think if you look at the data, California continues to increase overall number of jobs. The big issue for them, it continues to be housing price, as I mentioned earlier, everybody wants to live on the coast, and that drives up your housing costs because there's the demand. So there's these trade-offs in any location that you're competing against, and yet Nevada, which has historically had lower taxes, at least that's one of the things we've always talked about. We're last out of the recession.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. Jeff Hardcastle, always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir. We'll be right back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Don Tatro is here with the Builders Association of Northern Nevada, and Howard Rosenberg, who is, of course, Howard Rosenberg. Ray Hager's here, too.
Don, thank you, Sam. Don, I wanted to get back to you about the idea of training students in the trades, which, of course, would help the Builders Association. Where does this stand right now? There's been a lot of lip service for decades about the Washoe County School District, ramping up their education for those who want to enter the trades rather than go to a four-year higher institution of learning. Where does this stand with Nevada now?
I don't think there's been enough progress made. I know that the National Association of Home Builders, we have curriculums ready to go on carpentry, facility maintenance, a lot of these skill sets that we're very underserved with, but our population could immediately fill those positions. We're working to try and get those things. We're creating a conversation that you don't need to go and get your underwater basket weaving degree in arts, that you're left with a diploma and then going, well, what now? This is something, the average age of a plumber in America is 56 years old. So we have an entire generation of people trained in the trades, electrical, plumbing, you name it, that are retiring, and there's no one to fill that need. And that's another reason you're seeing housing costs in northern Nevada go up, is the lack of labor and people who understand these trades and can walk in and be ready to work on it.
Howard?
We have not taught underwater basket weaving in a number of years. It was a good class back in 1802 when I started teaching it. However, let's get back to the most important part. You're right. You're 100% right. I have three college degrees. One of them is from Harvard. I hope you're impressed. I can't do anything that makes any kind of sense if I have a problem at home. I have to call someone to come and help me. And I admire people that can do this, but our whole idea of someone in the trades is someone who couldn't really get through college and just wanted to get some money. Bull. An electrician has to know what the hell he's doing, or you can be in deep, deep trouble.
Okay, so Howard, the other side of the coin here is
yes.
that just like politics, higher education has become a huge business with huge salaries, huge bureaucracy, and this encouragement over decades now, you've got to go to college, you've got to go to college. And the net result for a lot of kids is they walk away with a degree and a huge, huge debt that they could still be paying off. Congressman, trying to run for Senate, Joe Heck, still paying off his medical bills, from his medical education. This is a crazy situation, and this is what's got to change, is we've got to start talking about why does everybody need to go to university,
Sam,
when they don't.
I'm with you 100%. It's all college or career ready. Well, now, is a plumber a career?
Yes.
Yes, I think it is. But it doesn't work that way because most people think of it as a job. And a job and a career are two different things. Not necessarily. Research is desperately important. But the balance between research and teaching, education that actually works for something, is much, much, much more important.
We're getting away from providers versus consumers. And I think that's a difficult balance, and you see that in the cities. We need to step up. These are great careers. They have a great longevity to it. There's nothing better than seeing your hard work come to fruition, and it's a building standing there. Mm-hmm. I think that's something we need to get back in the schools. We have fourth grade curriculums that I can give teachers to teach construction math. And get back to the STEM and the construction and the trades and that being a critical part of our economy.
Howard?
Could I just say one thing? STEM doesn't work as well as STEAM works. You need the arts. I know that sounds crazy, and a lot of people think it's painting and dancing and doing things like that. No, it's a thought process. And without the artist, you don't have any clothes. You don't have any place to live because someone's got to design these things.
I'll take that back. We need more STEAM.
That's
absolutely.
Good. Thank you very much.
STEAM and STEM seem to almost go together like yin and yang, though.
They do, in a way, but you don't cut one out. The whole idea of education today, because there's so damn much of it. You know, I don't teach stuff anymore. I teach my students how to ask the questions that will get them
okay.
the stuff.
Where does a young person go to learn how to be a carpenter or an electrician or a plumber, which could lead to a very fruitful and rewarding career?
Answer in 5 seconds.
The shop class that doesn't exist anymore, that's where we need to bring those back in.
All right, that's where we got to leave it. We'll have a better answer for you on our next show. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
On our next broadcast, Washoe County Commissioner Marsha Burke-Bigler, and she's throwing some bombs.